Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to minister today from this topic, your treasure, your hearts, your words. This is part three of that series, and today's topic will be wisdom and words from above. Say wisdom and words from above. Words are powerful not because they're metaphysical forces, but because words indicate our faith, words declare our position, words situate us in our lives, in our society, in our relationships. Words indicate and point the direction in which we're headed. Now, here's some quotes. I'm going to give you three quotes today. From an unknown author, he says this, "Don't mix bad words with your bad mood." You'll have many opportunities to change a mood, but you'll never get an opportunity to replace the words you spoke. Unknown author. Here's a Chinese proverb. I think he read the Bible, picked up this from the Bible, but it says, if you wish to know the mind of a man, listen to his words. Well, that's what Jesus just said. It's not a proverb, it's scripture. If you wish to know the heart of a man, listen to his words. And a quote, actually, it's a quote from the Bible. The psalmist said, David said, let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock or my strength and my redeemer. That was David's prayer. It's our prayer. Proverbs 13:3 says, one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So just a few scriptures about words, a few quotes. There's a lot to say about words because we know the importance of our words. Now, the foundation for words is the heart. The heart is shaped by what we call treasure, what Jesus called treasure. And he said that this treasure can be good or it can be evil. Well, what is treasure? Treasure is the place where things are collected, a coffer or receptacle in which valuables are kept. We understand that. Again, treasures can be good things or treasures can be not so good things. Now, what you think, live, do, and say comes out of the place of accumulated things or your treasure. And this is what defines your heart. Everything you read, watch, listen to becomes part of your treasure. That's a pretty important thought there. Now, obviously, our education, we've been taught by teachers and mentored by mentors and coached by coaches, and we have taken a lot of information in. We watch TV and watch movies. Now, we watch some things for entertainment, and that's just fun. We understand that. But sometimes we get fixated on things like news. You know, we know news is important, but how much news, how much of the same news do you need? The same exact news. I mean, news is breaking, things change, I know that. But yet, you know, if we get full of the wrong types of information, too much of it, it begins to become our treasure, and we speak from that treasure. And I listened to a young man whom I've known for a long time, and he's become very bitter about some things, and so he's been just kind of spewing out a lot of things online because he's been listening to a lot of bad information and misinformation, things that aren't accurate, and so it's gotten into his heart, and he's saying things that are very disturbing. Because that's just the function, that's the function of the heart. That's what Jesus said. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's important for us to spend time in the Word of God and spend time in prayer, spend time worshiping and singing, spend time reading wholesome things, and then actually decide not to look at some things, not to listen to some situations, some people. That's an important decision too, especially in these days. We need to have great focus and be accurate about what we're doing today. In some cases, our lives depend on the accuracy of information. Even the Bible says in Thessalonians, part of the end times, he says that there will come a time when people would not receive the love of the truth. And for this reason, God will send on them a strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie. It's important to love the truth. Not just Bible truth, empirical evidence. I mean, facts. You should love truth. Don't be attracted to things that are not accurate and attracted to things that sound wonderful but are made up by somebody. He said, receive the love of the truth. Now, of course, the truth of God saves us. The gospel is the truth. I know that. But there's a sense of, and the spirit of truth isn't only affirming scripture truth. God's affirming every kind of truth. Truth about conditions you're living in. Truth about your finances. Amen. I mean, truth everywhere. We can't act like we have what we don't have. And think about this. To want something that's not for you, that's a lie too. It's a lie to want anything that's not for you. Now, to want what's for you, I don't care how big it looks, how expensive it seems, that's different. But stuff that's not for you, people who are not for you, you shouldn't put your gaze and your attention on them. Because what you think, live, do, say comes out of the place of accumulated things, or we call treasure. And this treasure defines the heart. All right, last point of review. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Above a few things. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it, for everything you do flows from it, this version says. Wow. Everything you do flows from your heart. The treasure. Everything is coming out of the treasure. So I cannot let my treasure, the treasure in me, be diminished, or I can't accumulate the wrong type of stuff, because whatever is coming in is coming out. All right, let's go on now. Part three again. Wisdom and words from above. We're going to spend time in James chapter 3, the whole chapter. I'm going to go fast to the first part. We covered last time. But this is so key that you would study this chapter out as I have done, that you would go back into it, read it often. It's a powerful, practical text. Verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. But if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Now, perfect, I define this in the text in brackets. Perfect means brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Not perfect like I don't make mistakes, but perfect as being brought to the end, brought through the process. He says, a perfect man able to bridle. That word bridle means to lead by a bridle, to guide, to hold in check, restrain, able to bridle the whole body. Well, if our words are correct, then we can guide, our whole life can be steered in the correct direction. But again, our words cannot be correct if the treasure is not correct, right? Everything is coming out of the heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it, one version says, come the forces of life, the issues of life. So pay attention to what goes in. James 3, verse 3 says, indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Also, look at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts of great things. Now, not great like good, But great, like over the top, exaggerate, silly. Okay, great. See how great a fire, or how great a forest, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. So small things control big things. Put the bit in a horse's mouth, you can steer the horse. The rudder on the back of the big ship, now it's small in comparison to the ship, but it can turn the whole ship. When James wrote the ships, although they're so large, he couldn't imagine how ships had become larger today. I mean, he couldn't imagine how large ships are today. Same principle, though. The rudder will cause the ship to turn. And then he says, even so the tongue. Even so the tongue. The tongue, of course, is where we speak the words, our mouths, our tongues, where we form the words, is a little member, but boasts of great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, okay? So he makes it very plain. Small things can affect big things. Big things come out of small things. And many times we're trying to examine situations in our lives, our finances, wherever it might be. It's oftentimes something small that's causing a big problem. It's true in mathematics. It's true in a lot of things you do in your jobs. Sometimes it's something small that has not been checked or properly understood or administered that has caused a big problem. So it's important to see the tongue is just that. When I say tongue, and tongue means words, but the words are coming from the heart. He says, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Wow. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles, which means to stain or soil, the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Come on, James, lighten up. He ran back. Okay. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We addressed this last time. Men have tamed elephants and dolphins we've tamed cats and dogs, and we've tamed birds. It's amazing. We've tamed all kinds of animals. But the tongue can no man tame. And the reason that the tongue cannot be tamed is this. You ready for this? Because the tongue or your words are a direct connection to your heart. And if our heart is not right, our words won't be right. The tongue is directly connected to the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. You cannot tame it. It can't be tamed. Now, people can fake for a moment. People who cuss a lot can try not to cuss. But they end up cussing. I'm talking to myself back before Christ. I was one of those kind of cussing type people. I tried not to cuss. Worked at it sometime. Succeeded sometime. But when the pressure comes on, you put anybody under pressure and their facade falls away. The face falls off. Come on, somebody. When pressure is applied, they come straight out of the heart. And then the mouth speaks. So that's why no one can tame the tongue. The only solution is to change the heart. We cannot say that. I cannot tame the tongue. I can only train my heart. Amen. That's a lesson, isn't it? All right, James 3, verse 9. With it, the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Makes it clear. And really, it makes it very simple, because since we cannot tame the tongue and we cannot fake our words and feign a face that we really don't have, we need to go back to what Jesus said. Out of a treasure, out of a good treasure of one's heart, a good man produces good. So let's make the heart right. Let's repent. Let's be clear. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's cut off foolishness, foolish sources around us. Just cut all of that off. You don't need any of that foolishness coming into your heart. Amen, somebody? Now, you're going to deal with some foolishness as a natural course of life. That just things happen. You don't have to invite it or entertain it or put up with it. How much do you value your heart? Above all else, guard your heart. Amen, somebody? So I cannot say how important that is to you. I know it's important to me. It's important to God. Because what God's called you to do requires a heart that's clear and a heart that's full of His truth, of His word. Didn't He say in Hebrews that be careful lest a root of bitterness be in you and it spring up and cause trouble? See, bitterness is that thing that gets in the heart, and when it's not dealt with by forgiveness and release, then it just stuff just falls out. And it defiles many, the Bible says. So, you know, the Bible's abundantly clear about this issue. So it's important for us to spend time with God and get our hearts right before God. Amen. We don't want to live in contradiction, hypocrisy, and duplicity. The word duplicity means this: deceitfulness in speech or conduct, as by speaking or acting in two different ways to different people concerning the same matter. Double dealing. Wow. We don't want any of that, because that's not in our hearts. Again, but no one can tame the tongue. We can only train the heart. We cannot tame the tongue. We can only train, let God train our hearts. And once the hearts are trained, you can just trust what comes out is going to be the right thing. Amen. All right. All right, James 3:13. That's going to the wisdom piece here. Wisdom from above, wisdom and words from above. James 3:13. Who is a wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not lie or do not boast and lie against the truth. What truth? All right, so who's wise? Who has understanding? Then let him show by his conduct. And conduct includes words. Conduct his works that are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, now envy, you know, envy is that thing where it hurts me to see you do well. That's a sad thing, isn't it? To feel bad because somebody's doing better than you or have what you don't have. That's a terrible, sad situation there. And then self-seeking. You know, that's obvious. You know, I want what I want. I want what you want. What's yours is mine. What's mine is mine. You know, and that self-seeking manifests when a person, everything they do is for themselves. We see that on a national scale at the highest level. Come on, somebody. But everything some people do is for themselves. Every single thing they do is for themselves. Self-seeking. He says, don't boast or lie against the truth. What truth? Well, verse 15, that this wisdom, two kinds of wisdom, upper, lower. This wisdom does not descend from above. This wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Man, James just, somebody cool James off. Give him a glass of water, something. He's on fire. James is on fire. James is on fire. So this wisdom, the wisdom that calls a person to think envy and self-seeking has some value. See, that wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Wow. Every evil thing. So when you have the combination of envy and self-seeking, then confusion and every evil thing is possible in that situation. Now, good news. Let me give you, so verse 17, now James is going to end up here on a very positive note. He'll bring it, he'll bring it home now. He's going to bring it home, okay? He don't burn everybody up. Now he's getting ready to, you know, cool them down, okay? And this is good. I'm going to highlight these one by one. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. I'll take these one at a time. First of all, he says, again, the earthly wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's the lower wisdom. The upper, the high wisdom, wisdom from above is, first of all, it is pure. Next slide. It is pure and it is peaceable. All right? Pure and peaceable. Now, pure just means what it implies. Not meaning, the root meaning of pure is pure enough to approach God. That's good, isn't it? How pure is it? It can approach God. That kind of pure. Not pure as people may define it, but pure as it allows one to approach God. Peaceable is opposite the cruel behavior of those who take delight in denigrating others. All right? These are, in fact, Greek definitions from Barclay's commentary. It is the opposite of the spirit of the hater and the gossiper. That's Hudson. That's not Barclay, okay? He didn't have the word hater and gossiper. That's me. But peaceable is the opposite of hater and the gossiper. So we have wisdom from above is first, pure, peaceable. Thirdly, it is gentle and willing to yield. This wisdom knows how to make allowances, knows when not to stand on its rights, how to temper justice with mercy, and wisdom knows how to yield, but it cannot be played as well. So it's like, yeah, you have wisdom and you yield and you show mercy, but not to the point where you allow someone to play you and abuse that, okay? But yeah, this wisdom from above has all of this. Hasn't God shown us this? Hasn't he shown us this? Has God dealt with any of us according to what we deserved? Amen. Say thank God, no. Thank God, no. Next it says, wisdom is full of mercy. And this means it's the mercy for a man who is in trouble. That's the sense of mercy here. Even if the trouble is his own fault. So mercy isn't measured just only by feeling sorry, feeling pitiful for somebody, having empathy only, but it is that recognize it is someone's own fault. What bothers me in our society is how people have trouble and people struggle and people fall down and they say things like, you should pick yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, or you should get a job. This kind of stuff, as if they don't want a job, or assuming that the conditions can be remedied by your words and by your command and by your feeling about them. And the fact is, people are often dealing with very complex situations in their lives, some of which have been imposed upon them, some of which is indeed their own fault. But either way, God shows mercy, and people of God show mercy. Mercy is so key. We've all needed mercy. We've needed mercy. Amen. We have. And maybe you need it a lot less than some others, but at some point we'll all need to have some mercy. Amen. And so it's good to show mercy. And wisdom is full of mercy. Say, wisdom is full of mercy. Yeah, it's wise to show mercy. You know, someone said, take care of people while you're on your way up. Take care of people, because on your way down, you might need them. On your way up, when you're doing well, take care of folk. Because on your way down, when you don't know what to do, you'll need the same people that you didn't need when you were rising so high. Always need help sometime. Always need help sometime. And the time comes when we need to have all the help we can get. There are seasons in life, we need all the help we can receive. to the point where sometimes we're not even very helpful like we want to be. But thank God you were when you could be. Now you qualify in the grace to receive help, and even if you weren't helpful to anybody going up, someone will still help you while you're going down, because God has mercy. He's a merciful God. Amen. We're merciful people. He says, wisdom is full of good fruits. Fruit is never something we manufacture. I like that. We don't manufacture fruit. The apple tree doesn't manufacture apples. My wife, she bought some mangoes yesterday. She found some really good mangoes. Man, mangoes are so good. When any fruit is ripe, it is really, really good. And she found some great mangoes. I'm carving the mango up, carve a piece off. It was so good. Sad part is the seed is so big inside of it. I mean, heart is so big. I mean, the mango, you think, this is a big old mango. Don't be surprised by that. Don't be overwhelmed by that. Because mango, that's like, most of that on the inside is hard. But that mango wasn't manufactured by anybody. Nobody can make a mango. Nature creates mangoes. Nature creates fruit. And your fruit cannot be manufactured. It is something that comes out of a process and out of the genuineness of the heart and character. Amen. Just like our words, you cannot tame the tongue, because your tongue is directly connected to your heart. You can't manufacture fruit. You can only produce what's already inside of your heart, of your mind, of your life, of your character. And we don't have to go around trying to impress people or try to, pad the resume and all that. Like I told you, I see people back in the day hiring people, they pad their resume. And I stopped reading the resumes of these young people and just give them a camera and here's a computer, make me a video. Just make a video. You say you make the resume sounds flowing resume, great. But you're young, you're growing, developing. That may have been a team project, and there's no team around you today. It's just you. So here's a camera, here's a computer, make me a video. And if you have the fruit, not a great video, just a video. If you have it in you, you can do it. Say, I can do it.
I can do it.
Amen. So let's not manufacture, I'm a singer. That's the last thing you have to say. That's, you know what I'm saying? Sing me a song. So obviously some things don't require you to position and posture. All we have to do, let the fruit come out. Let the fruit out. That's all. And the good thing is the fruit's already coming out. And many times the fruit that we actually see may not be what you think you wanted, but if it's good fruit, you should go with it. To the point where you change your mind about what you think you're supposed to be doing. Amen?
Amen.
If what you want to do isn't bearing fruit, then do what your fruit indicates you should do. And most of us are doing that. I mean, that's why if you enjoy your work, that's why you enjoy your work, because you're working in the area of where you bear fruit. You simply enjoy working with people, or help solving problems, you know what I'm saying? Or making people feel better, encourage people, or produce things people can enjoy and benefit from. Whatever it is, that's the result of the wisdom of God in you and the fruit that's coming out of the wisdom. It's good, isn't it? He also says here that wisdom is without partiality. Wisdom treats people fairly and according to the word of God. Fairness is a misunderstood principle. For example, it is not fair. It doesn't seem to be fair, I'll say, for the teacher to give a poor grade to a student who ignores assignments and instructions. Now, it's pretty obvious to us, but there's some kids feel like, you're not fair. You didn't do the work. Here's the work right here. Here's 10 answers. Here's 10 questions. You got 8 of them wrong. That's not fair. What's fair to you? Sometimes people have a weird idea of what fair is. But the point is, no, fairness is not about what we think. Fairness is simply just being honest about where we are and what we've done. Now, let me shock you with this statement here. Now, God is not fair. Why did I say that? Because he's God. Why is that? See, you can't attach your words to God. You can't attach, well, God should be fair. Says who? What is fair? Because the problem is, you say, well, God's not fair in how he dealt with somebody. You know what? Guess what you don't know? How that person lives when you don't see them. You don't know what people are doing when you don't see them. It's so unfair what happened to them. You don't know everything that happened to them. We don't know everything that people do. We all be surprised at the things and details about situations that we didn't know. So it's not for us to know. Now, God's not fair, but God is just. That's a more correct term. He's just. Fairness is a human metric. People always want to attach their metrics to God, and God should be like this. No, God is who he said he is. As a matter of fact, we know from the scripture that God's like this. I mean, he just won't follow us. It's almost like, you know, if you say that what God should do, he'll just go a different direction on you, just to show you. I'm not doing that, just to show you. So we all just obey and follow God and mind our own business. Right? But people love God is sovereign. What does that mean? You don't know what that means. He does whatever he wants. Does it mean that? What does it mean? You know what it means. It means God is God. I am that I am. We have to stop trying to meddle in the mind of God and get our own mind straight. There is so much folk, you know, how people want to get on you and talk about stuff. And, you know, I fly drones, you know, I do photography. I'm into some forum. I post my pictures sometime. And this guy said, well, that's just too dark. Well, let me see your pictures. Because it's the way I wanted it. It's the way I wanted it. You know, it's too dark. Show me your pictures. Show me your drone aerial photographs. Most of them go beep, quiet, crickets, you know what I'm saying? Because folk love to criticize what they can't do. So why are we going to criticize God? We can't even criticize each other accurately. Amen? So wisdom is without partiality. So wisdom is not going to, wisdom will treat people fairly in the sense of if it's something that's just open and obvious and we can see it, I'm not going to give this person a cup of water and not give that one a cup of water. So wisdom has the obvious type of fairness, but we don't know when it comes down to what God is doing, we don't know enough about God or about people to say what's fair or unfair. Just can't say it. All right, wisdom finally is without hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy is a word that literally means to wear a mask. It's a term in theater, and one root meaning of it. It's to play a role. It's to act. And so hypocrisy, you know, for example, if the actor is playing a golfer in the movie, but he cannot play in real life, that's just, he's playing a role. Everybody knows he's playing a role. He swings the club and they cut in a shot of a good golf shot. They can make it look like he's playing golf. But, you know, he's an actor playing golf. But he can't really play golf that well. My point is, this is what we don't want to do is play at anything, act like anything. Because we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and treasure in our hearts, we never have to act like somebody. You can simply do what's in you. In fact, you can only do what's inside of you. And so we don't have to spend any time making it look like we can do what we really aren't gifted or graced to do. There's no need for that. And, you know, in our world, it's a problem. You know how it is. It's hard to shop someplace. It's hard to get good advice nowadays. People want to, you know, pretend to be experts on something, and you want to buy some equipment or something, and the person's trying to tell you something about it, and they just don't know what they're talking about, and you kind of know they know, don't know, and wish they would just stop talking about it, you know? But that's the world. But in Christ, we have wisdom. And wisdom is without hypocrisy. I'd rather a person just be wrong and make a mistake than try to make up something and try to invent something that doesn't really exist in their mind and heart. Amen. Then he says this, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. All right, so again, these are words and wisdom from above. And because we have drawn wisdom from God from above, because we value the treasure in us and we guard the heart and cultivate that treasure, then what comes out of us is going to be fruitful. Now listen, hear this. What comes out of you won't always please people. They won't always like it. Right? So liking it is not the issue here. What's important is that you are being genuine and true to what is in your heart. And that, for example, you preach the gospel to people and you preach the word of God, and as Paul said to all ministers, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time shall come, they'll have itching ears, won't want to hear sound doctrine. So we're in a time where if you preach certain things, some folk won't say amen. You know what I'm saying? Some things kind of coming pretty strong. You don't want to hear it. We all have been there. So let's not judge whether, hypocrisy or whether wisdom or words. We can't judge people. Don't judge folk. Just obey God, follow your heart, and know that the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right. Now, last point. Two liberating words. I'm going to share with you this in closing this series. These words are thank you. Say thank you.
Thank you.
These are two liberating words in many ways. Hebrews 13:12 says this, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. And do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, this part before what he said, before the part that said, let us offer to him the sacrifice of praise continually, the part before that seems kind of deep, but the reason I want to read that is because everything that Jesus did for us, the part that we couldn't see and couldn't experience, all that he did for us caused us to be able, as the writer said here, that we don't have the city yet, but we are seeking the one to come. That is, what Christ did has put such a powerful hope in us that we live off that hope. We live on that hope. And because of that, he says, now let us continually offer to him the sacrifice of praise. Let's offer that every now and then. Nope, continually. That is what? Giving thanks to his name. You know, ever seen people go into a fit of saying thank you? I have. Get into a happy fit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, sometimes just you're overwhelmed by it. It's no show. It's not showing out. You genuinely are overwhelmed with the sense of all that God's done for you. Where you'd be without him, you realize it. You realize we wouldn't be here without him, basically. You'd be dead. This is to say it plainly. You'd be somewhere dead, okay, or lost. And in view of all that, so when he says give thanks to his name, that's a liberating statement. You're liberated by your thanksgiving, by reminding yourself of what Jesus did for you. Amen, somebody? Next here is, look at this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Wow. In everything give thanks. We've often said this. He didn't say for everything give thanks, but in everything give thanks. So when you're agonizing over a situation, over a loss, that is heart-wrenching, it's real. In the midst of that, you still want to give thanks to God. In the midst of the tears, start saying thank you. In the midst of the pain, start saying thank you. Just will yourself to say, Lord, thank you. You don't have to even feel it. It won't be a happy Thanksgiving fit, you know. You won't dance, you say it in tears, but be sure that you're giving thanks to God, because those are liberating words. Liberates really your mind from your emotions. That's important. Sometimes your emotions are so strong, your mind gets caught up in it, and your mind needs liberation from your emotions right now. And so thanking God will lift your consciousness out of the pain of how you feel. I know that. I know it well. That's how it works. All right. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're not just asking for what we want, but we're thanking God for who he is. In advance of anything manifesting, if nothing manifests in the moment, I'm still going to give, Lord, thank you. Thank you anyhow. All right. Last 2 points here. Thank you. These two powerful words, liberating words, help keep our lives clear of anxiety, sin, and darkness, and deception. Ephesians 5, Paul said, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us and an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Right? So before the foolishness start up, start giving God thanks. Right? Before the covetousness and the foolish talking, and the jesting and the filthiness. Before that, just start giving God thanks. Head it off at the pass. When you start feeling mad, you start feeling angry about something, and words are welling up in you, just start thanking God. Like, just head them off at the pass. Amen? He said, but rather. Didn't he say that? But rather means... rather means, rather than this, do this. It's amazing how giving God thanks will keep us out of trouble. It really will. Amen. Let's all stand. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for reminding us. Lord, thank you for reminding us of all these truths in the scripture, all these principles. Lord, thank you that our treasure and our hearts and our words are the expression of what you've put inside of us. And Lord, thank you that we, as Jesus said, will speak, Lord, from the treasure of our hearts. And even as James said, the tongue cannot be tamed. No, Lord, because it cannot, because the tongue, the words are directly connected to our hearts. Therefore, let us train our hearts. Since our tongue cannot be tamed, let us train our hearts. And I thank you, Father God, for helping us in that regard, and then not having no concern about then what we say, because we're only saying what we have been trained to reflect from our character and from you. Lord, thank you for encouraging us today, blessing your people, strengthening your people. Thank you for helping us every day during this season, Lord, and you've kept us healthy and safe and encouraged. We thank you for your blessing and favor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Let's worship God here for a moment. Let's worship him. And Worship him as you receive his spirit, his wisdom, whatever he's giving you at this moment, whatever he's stirring up in the inside, whatever he put on the inside of you during the teaching, whatever resonated with you, whatever nugget landed in your heart, let it take root in you. Let the word of God, let the wisdom of God just build up on the inside. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Father God. Blessed be your name, Lord God. We love you, Father God. We praise you, Lord God.